take a few minutes and just kind of talk at your table, and then we'll come back together, and we're just going to go through a few, three points about forgiveness, and then kind of how do you forgive when it seems too hard. So take a couple minutes, and we'll circle back up. Was that a tough journey at the gym? I mean, no, I hear some laughing. It definitely wasn't that bad, which I'm glad. It won't be too much of a downer. Okay. So I'm actually on staff in the area, in the singles area. And, I talk to single people a lot. And one of the things that I harp on is, as they're in community, not running from community and relationships, and really helping them understand that community really is a place for them to get to practice staying in relationships. Because so often they're like, I'm in relationships, I'm mad at this person, and I just want to bolt. And so I'm always encouraging, no, this is your opportunity to practice staying in relationships. And so often, what I honestly feel like they hear is Charlie Brown's grandmother. You know, wah, 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 wah. And I really feel like they're just like in one ear and out the other. And I know I'm sort of preaching to the choir here, right? Because you're married, you're in covenant relationships, and you know that apart from these little, as Robbie was saying earlier, the little foxes of unforgiveness, apart from that, you know, your relationship begins to break down. The things that I see the most in community is people leaving their groups because their unwillingness to forgive and to work through things. And so we're going to talk about sort of three things that forgiveness is. But before we do that, I want to read this quote. And by the way, there are several quotes I'm reading from this book, so I'll reference them for you. But they're really, really good. So this one is actually Henry Nouwen. It says, forgiveness is the name of love practiced among people who love poorly. The hard truth is that all people love poorly. We need to forgive and be forgiven every day, every hour, increasingly. That is the great work of love among the fellowship of the weak that is the human family. And I thought that's so great, because the truth is we all need forgiveness day by day, moment by moment, in every single relationship. But we kind of act as if, oh, I just want to kind of act perfectly in this relationship and not sin against someone, which that would be ideal. But we all need forgiveness. And so we got to learn how to operate in that. So three things that forgiveness is. We're going to start with the fact that forgiveness is grace. It is undeserved favor. And so see if you can track with me here. So a handshake or a hug is a gesture of a greeting. Does that make sense? So a handshake or hug, that's a gesture of a greeting. And so as I was thinking through this, forgiveness is a gesture of grace. It's a gesture that you can give to someone else to extend grace, okay? And so, and the truth is, I think we forget that without forgiveness of sin by God through Christ, we don't have relationship with God apart from that forgiveness, apart from his work on the cross. And so, and I would make a case that without forgiveness in relationships with others, there really is no way to have deep, meaningful, and trusting relationships. So forgiveness really is crucial. This is a quote from the book. Forgiveness is the oil that lubricates strained relationships. Without it, all relationships will spiral downward until they are broken or impaired. And so when God forgives, and again, these are just some practical things. He released his right to hold on to the debt that we owed. He released it. And so forgiveness is abandoning or releasing the hold on the debt that someone may rightly owe you. They have wounded you. They've offended you. And it's you releasing a hold on that debt. It's you extending grace. It's your gesture of grace. And so, I had a counselor one time tell me, he says, this is your opportunity to push back the darkness of the fall. Do you see how high level that is? This is your opportunity to push back the darkness of the fall by extending. It's the same thing that God did when he sent Christ for us to pay the penalty that we owe. And so forgiveness can't be earned. And one of the things that I've just learned really, and I'm still single, but in relationships, God's blessed me with some really close friendships. And what I have learned is that at some point, someone will hurt you so badly that they will not be able to earn or perform their way back into your good grace. At some point, there's going to be a gap that someone can't fill. And that gap is filled by forgiveness and grace. And that's what it is. Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. When I think about, again, the release, I sort of think of forgiveness as sort of a hot potato. You know, sort of the idea of the hot potato. It's like forgiveness is a practice. It's continuing to, you know, release that. It's like, oh, no, I'm not grabbing onto that. When that comes back, I'm not grabbing onto that. I'm releasing that debt that they owe me by hurting me and by offending me. And so this is just a practical thing. When I went through Celebrate Recovery, used to be Celebrate Recovery, now called Regen, one of the things that I was working on was unforgiveness. And I was having a really hard time forgiving a friend. And I remember that my co-leader said a couple of things that the Lord used to reveal patterns that I did not know I had that were keeping me from forgiving. And it was really significant. I remember where we were sitting. We were breaking it down after, you know, that time that night. And I remember what she said. And she talked about, well, specifically, the first one was that I was dwelling on the hurt. I was dwelling on the hurt. That's the very opposite of releasing, right? Is I'm mired down and I'm holding on to, I'm dwelling on the hurt. And the second thing is that I was assassinating their character. And so I remember when my co-leader said, she goes, I remember when the Lord showed me that it was sin to assassinate someone's character. And I remember going, oh, well, I never thought of that. And those two things were sort of things that the Lord used to clip the chains of the bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness I had in my heart. When I began to see it through the filter of, oh, I can release this. And I can repent of those particular sins and the ways I was participating in. And God began to bring healing and forgiveness and freedom in my own heart. Okay, and so holding on to is really the very opposite of grace. And so the second thing that forgiveness is it's the glue for relationships. It's the glue for relationships. It puts relationship back together again. It's sort of if you're broken, you know, if you've offended someone and there's a wedge between you, it brings it, forgiveness restores the relationship. And I even like to say it kind of fills in those crevices that are there between you. It puts the relationship back together again. Colossians 3:13, and this is sort of if we're picking verses for this particular one another, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which bind them together in perfect unity. And so forgiveness is what binds back together a broken relationship. So forgiveness really is crucial to long-term, trusting, loving relationships. This is a quote from the book. It says, forgiveness gives us the grace to say, I love this. This is so counterintuitive to what we do. I'm not sure who was wrong. I'm not even sure what all the issues are. I don't know. I do know that I love you and want to be at peace with you. I'm sorry for my part in the misunderstanding. Please forgive me. It's saying, I don't even know what all happened here. I'm not trying to account for. So often I come to situations and I mean, I've got a case made. I'm like a lawyer. I'm like, here are all the things you did wrong and here are all the things I did right. And that's the comparison. And this is saying, no, I don't even know what happened here, but I know I love you and I know I want to be right with you. So it's the glue that gets you back to a clean slate. It puts you back on even footing. And so here's another quote. Forgiveness offers a way out. And again, I love this idea. It says, it doesn't settle all the questions of blame and fairness. How often, I mean, y'all tell me I'm not the only one here. How often are you thinking, but they didn't own that, but that's not fair, but they didn't take responsibility, right? I mean, I do that. And that it's like, unless they do that, then I'm not forgiving. And I love this quote. Forgiveness offers a way out. It doesn't settle all the questions of blame and fairness. Often, it pointedly evades those questions. But it does allow a relationship to start over, to begin anew. Do you see how forgiveness is just grace? It's just undeserved, unmerited favor. It is, they can't earn it back, so I'm just freely giving it. And it's yours and my opportunity to really be Christ-like at the end of the day. Okay, and then lastly, third point is it's the genesis of our restoration and freedom. So it's the beginning of our restoration and freedom. And there, so in two situations, first is with the offender. You know, and this is from that book, we're hurt once by the offense. So it's a restoration with that person who offended us. But then secondly, and I think this is the most important part, and it's selfish, but it's that it's freedom for the offended. It's freedom for you, the one who was hurt. And so in the book, it talks about we're hurt a second time when we hold on to the hurt, which then becomes anger and then bitterness. Another quote says, refusing to forgive is like loading a handgun with the intent to shoot the person who hurt us, but invariably, the gun swings around and points at us. And then lastly, here's another quote. It says, we may forgive ostensibly to set a person free, the one who offended us, only to discover that we ourselves were the prisoners. And then so, and I laugh with the Lord. It's like the way up is down. You know, it's better to give than to receive. It's rigged. It's like for us, we have to forgive. We have to forgive. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Okay, I want to read you this story. It's a little bit sad. But it has a good ending, so bear with me. This guy is saying, a friend of mine tells this story. He says, when I was in college, I was a part of a fraternity initiation committee. We placed the new members in the middle of a long stretch of a country road. I was to drive my car as fast as possible straight at them. The challenge was for them to stand firm until a signal was given to jump out of the way. It was a dark night. I had reached 100 miles per hour and saw the looks of terror in the headlights. The signal was given and everyone jumped clear, except one boy. I left college after the tragedy, later married and had two children. I became hopelessly inconsistent, moody, and finally became an alcoholic. My wife had to work to bring in the only income we had. I was drinking at home one morning when someone rang the doorbell. I opened to find myself facing the mother of the boy I had killed years before. She said that she had hated me and spent agonizing nights rehearsing ways to get revenge. She then told me of the love and forgiveness that had come when she gave her heart to Christ. She said, I have come to let you know that I forgive you, and I want you to forgive me. And I love this part of the story. He says, I looked deep into her eyes that morning and saw the permission to be the kind of man I might have been had I never killed that boy. That forgiveness changed my whole life. And I love that because that is such, it's a depressing picture. And I'm sorry about that. But it is the beginning of our freedom. It was the beginning of the freedom for the, it was part of the freedom for the offender. And it was the beginning of the freedom for that woman. And it is a huge part of our healing. And I just go back to community. Guys, if you're not in community and you're here because you want to be in community, community is hard. Relationships are messy, but that's okay because with grace and with forgiveness, we can move toward each other. We don't have to be porcupines constantly with our little quills, you know, out. We can soften. We can let people in. And so I want to just end with this, a couple of different things. But I think one of the, again, the struggle that I had was I want to forgive, but I feel stuck. And so how do we do it when we want to, but we can't? And so I had a video I was going to show. And do y'all know who Corrie Ten Boom is? Yes. Okay. So it was actually her voice, and she was talking about the soldier that had come to her and had asked for her forgiveness, and she said to him, "I cannot." And so in this video, it's a little bit more dramatic than I'm going to make it, but she ends with this. Ultimately, she said, "I forgive you," to the man. The man had become a Christian and said, "God has put on my heart to find one of the people whom I've hurt and offended and ask for forgiveness." And in her heart, she could not. And so this is what she reads. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given to us." And so I want to encourage all that forgiveness is a supernatural, it is unnatural. And it even says in this book that all of these other things are natural for us to do. A lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them. Forgiveness is unnatural. But I love this. Romans 5:5 says, "Because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit." And so it happens by God's love being poured into your heart. If you know the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, we forgive. That's how we do it. We cannot do it on our own. It is not in our own ability to do it. It is God's love that we have for others. And so just a couple of practical things for you. I would, if I were you and you're kind of stuck somewhere in your life or relationships, is ask God to reveal any patterns that are keeping you stuck. So just ask him, "Lord, are there things I'm doing that are keeping me stuck?" And again, like for me, it was, I was dwelling on the hurt and I was also assassinating their character. I was also not doing some of the things like Luke 6, and I'm gonna read that to you in a second. I was not doing some of the things that the Lord asks us to do that I believe are a huge part of that process. And so, number one is asking God to reveal any patterns that are keeping you stuck. Number two is ask God for his clarity. And I really think this is so important, and his healing. And that sounds sort of trite, but the truth is that God is the one that heals our wounds. And the healing may not feel like it's happening because it doesn't happen overnight. A wound, you know how a physical wound heals, right? It heals from the inside out. It heals slowly. You don't wake up and it's gone. It's a slow healing. And so ask God to heal that wound and ask for clarity. It says, "Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight." Don't try to figure it out. Ask God for clarity and for understanding about the wound. And then lastly, I learned this lesson, and one of my most read verses. When I meet with community groups, it is the verse that I most often turn to, and it was also during a hard season. I mean, I would read it 5+ times a day because it was the only thing that would soften my heart. And so it's Luke 6:20. 27 through 36. I'm going to read it to you. It says, and this is Jesus talking, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you." I love this. "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even the pagans do that. Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And this is the key part. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked." And then it says, be merciful just as your heavenly Father is merciful. And like I say, it's the verse I would say I read the most in community, because I think, again, it's this, it is this unnatural thing that God is asking us to do, is to love those. I mean, it's harder to love someone that you love that's hurt you almost than it is. They almost are like an enemy. But that's what God's asking us to do. And he says, then you will be children of the Most High. And your reward will be great. And so during this hard season for me, this was probably the biggest lesson that the Lord taught me. And I walked away with two takeaways from that verse. It was sort of this little paraphrase for me of that whole paragraph. One, this life is not about you. And two, the way of the cross is death to self. The way of the cross is death to self. And that's that supernatural. Forgiveness is our opportunity to love the way Jesus loved, which was the way of the cross. So it's grace, it's the glue for relationships, and it's, what's the last one? The genesis of restoration and healing. I asked you because I forgot, so thank you. Now we're going to let y'all spend a little bit more time in your groups. And Sam, if you could throw up those last questions. You're going to spend some time in your small groups, just kind of talking through those. So is there a time when someone's forgiven you that it's deeply impacted you? Is there someone who your forgiveness would deeply impact? How would it change your relationship with that person? And even be specific, like what would it look like if I actually released that debt, release that hot potato? And then what would you need to do to forgive that person? And these are a lot of questions, so you're not going to get to all of them, but just pick a couple of those and talk about it with your group, and then Robbie's going to come back up, and I think y'all are going to have some more fun.